Tonight, many of you are going to find out what you've had and you've not walked in it. Tonight, I want to hit it dead on. Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now look up at me. Paul says to this Corinthian church, I'm pleading with you. Remember, they're already saved, right? They're already speaking in tongues, right? But Paul says, I'm pleading with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now wait a minute. Right there, that scripture, I would be safe to say the majority of the people in our churches, our spirit-filled, charismatic, evangelical churches, don't understand what he's saying in this verse. They don't even have a clue. Because of our incorrect understanding of what grace really is. Now, can I tell you the way most people today in the church view the grace of God? We view the grace of God as the big cover-up. Are you with me? In other words, we see grace as covering our fleshly, disobedient lifestyle. Well, thank God for His grace. I know I'm not living like I should, but thank God for the grace of God. I'm saved by grace. Well, are you telling me that the blood of Jesus doesn't cleanse me from sin? No. The blood of Jesus does cleanse us from sin. Don't confuse. Now look up at me. Don't confuse the work of justification with the work of sanctification. Now listen to me. You say those are pretty heavy words. Well, let me explain them. Justification is what happened to us the moment we received Jesus Christ as Lord, forsook our sin, repented of our sin, turned our back on the world and said, I follow you as my Lord. At that moment, God declared us as righteous. Right? The blood of Jesus cleansed us. However, the Bible speaks of sanctification as working out what was done inside. Sanctification is a synonym with the word holiness. That is when what is done on the inside of you works out to the outside. Are you with me? Yes. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to say something. If you listen, it's going to hit you hard. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this. Pursue sanctification. Pursue holiness. Because without it, no one will see the Lord. Now listen, Hebrews 12:14 does not say this, pursue justification, for without it no man will see the Lord. It says pursue sanctification, because without sanctification no one's going to see the Lord, and we got a part of that because that's our responsibility to cleanse ourselves. The Bible, listen to me carefully, the Bible defines the grace of God as this. Grace covers, yes, but much more than that, it empowers us to do what truth demands of us. It is not the big cover-up, rather it empowers us to do what truth demands of us. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Grace empowers us to serve God acceptably. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That destroys our basic grace doctrine right there. We got this belief today that a person comes down, prays a sinner's prayer, confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, they're saved. Well, I know they're not living real godly right now, they've lost their testimony, but you know they did pray and they did confess Jesus, everything's okay. How many of you have ever heard people say this? Oh, thank God we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. All those laws they had to follow. Oh, how many of you ever heard people say that? Well, can we just see what Jesus said about that? Go over two pages of Matthew chapter 5. When he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, he is quoting the law. Everybody say the law.
Law.
Now, who gave us the law? Come on.
Law.
Moses. John chapter 1 verse 17 says that Moses gave us the law, but for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth was given to us through Jesus Christ. So when he says, you've heard it was said to those of old, he's quoting the law given by Moses, but when he says, but I say unto you, he's saying this is the way it's going to be in grace. Because remember, Moses gave the law, but Jesus gave us grace and truth. So, to be considered a murderer, you had to take the physical life under the law, under grace. God says you're a murderer if you just, or refuse to forgive or any other form of hatred. So now listen to me. Which one's a higher standard? Grace, right? Why? Because he gives us the power to live it. So under the law, to be considered an adulterer, you had to jump in bed with a woman you didn't get married to. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman to desire has committed adultery already. Under the law, you had to do it. Under grace, all you have to do is want to do it. And God says you're an adulterer. So which one's a higher standard? Grace. Can I ask you a question? When you see an apple tree, do you have to take a drill and bore a hole into the center of that apple tree, into the heart of that apple tree, to figure out if it's a good tree or not? Just look at its fruit. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man, no woman, no child will ever be able to stand before Jesus and say, my good works have earned me a position in your kingdom. It is by grace and only by grace we are saved, and grace cannot be bought and it cannot be earned. It is the gift of God. Amen? However, James comes along and completes the story. James comes along and says this, so you've been saved by grace? You say you've got the grace of God in your life? You say you've been saved by grace through faith? Show me your faith or your grace without your works. I will show you my faith or my grace by my works. Don't tell me you're saved if you're practicing sin. You know what, folks? You know what the Bible says? Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. This is Paul's message to the Gentiles. That they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. The NIV Bible says, repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Because men are going to profess them with his mouth, but he said to Timothy, they're going to deny his lordship by their lifestyle. I said to him, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I start thinking, why do we have a church that's not walking as he walked? Because we have been caught preaching grace as the cover-up instead of grace being the power that enables us to walk as he walked. You find out what grace really is, you start walking as he walked. If I preach to you, well, you know, the grace of God covers us and we have our trials and we have our tribulations and we have our problems and we have our little pet sins, but thank God for his grace. What kind of a church do you think we're going to have? Paul says here, chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Everybody say, cleanse ourselves. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Notice he didn't say perfected holiness. In other words, it's a process. Yeah. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. Sanctification begins the day you're born again. And it takes a long time to work out. But there's got to be a progress. Parables like the virgins. Parables like the men with the talents. Parables like the sheep and the goats. You'll find out the only difference is what they did and didn't do. Because they all called him Lord. They all called him Master. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. But when you understand what grace really is, that it is God's empowering presence, that it gives you the ability to do what truth demands of us, then you can understand how you can fall short of it by not using its full potential, by receiving it in vain. That is why the apostle says, pursue holiness, because without it, you're not going to see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God.